Welcome back to Startup to Success on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
So let's jump into figuring things out. Tell me one or two experiences that you had to figure things out on your own.
So I remember distinctly when I first learned how to model the Muse, who I don't have an example of here. However, to figure out how to orient the Muse in plaster to be able to make her, I had to really sit with it for hours. Like, it's not something that you can look up and say, like, how do I make a seamless mold? Like, I'm sure it is actually, if you type in, like, how do I make a seamless mold, that will pop up some articles and things that tell you the nature of what the project's going to be like. But it's not the same thing as, like, when you have to, like, write it down, or you have to see it, or you have to do it. I had to go prepare and buy the material and make sure that it's the right stuff, and, like, make sure that the day is nice and all that kind of stuff. So to do with figuring something out, sometimes it's as much as, like, having to get a ride from a friend who has a truck that can get the thing that's large enough to do it. Sometimes figuring it out is just reading the recipe or the ingredients of the material. So earlier when you introduced me in the material science realm, that means that whether or not we're working with wood pulp, whether or not we're working with some kind of, like, plaster or gypsum or cement, or whether we're working with natural stone and stuff, I should be able to have a grasp on what the process of cutting that material is going to be, or forming and shaping that material. Since with sculpture, sometimes it's subtractive and you cut away a shape, and sometimes it's additive, like you put things on top and you kind of make it so that all of a sudden you have a form that looks like what you're building up. So what was interesting to me was that it had to do with how you have to write something. It has to come back to you somewhere in your space for you to be able to feel it, is how I feel right now.
How do you get your creative ideas? Do you meditate? Is there a specific process you have?
Right now, like, particularly I'm bouncing off of you and bouncing off of, like, I have to acknowledge, mad props that you're here. And I'm, like, not quite sure, based off of, like, whether it's research or personal experience. Sometimes I have a lot of things to bring up. Sometimes I don't have too many things to bring up. And then I have to ask more questions about, like, whether or not I have any experience in that particular realm, or whether I need to open something up and then point at it and ask about that instead. To do with, like, what there is to figure out from a creative idea and where it comes from, I think it kind of depends on whether or not I'm with somebody else or if I'm completely alone.
So, you know, the World Cup is coming to Los Angeles and the Olympics, right?
Yeah, correct.
And I'm sure they're going to need some sculptures and stuff around Los Angeles.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. Department of Arts and Culture, I'm sure that they are putting out feelers for if you're a sculptor or any kind of artist that does murals as well. Yep. I'm sure they're going to want to have things around the city, and that there's a huge budget that's going into that, developers as well, that I'm sure are interested enough for someone to propose things like a catalog. So those are things that I never think of, but thanks to you to bring it up. It's like, yeah, there's a whole department dedicated. There's also Metro Art Los Angeles. They're just dedicated to making sure that the public transit and the public art spaces are, like, wonderful. I think recently I saw the LA Metro pool had updated contractors that are in that pool for, like, requests for proposals and such things, that they did a really beautiful mosaic on, I don't remember the exit, but it's, like, one of the exits for the red or orange line.
So going back and talking about business, how do you find yourself juggling the two? Because I can imagine, you know, I'm a creative person, but my creativity works in a very weird way. I can't make tangible things. My creativity is it's more ideas rather than, you know, like, I visualize things. I used to own a shoe company, and we used to make bridal shoes, really high-end bridal shoes. And I'm so bad at art to a certain extent that I can't even sketch a shoe.
But I would get the vision of the shoe in my head and I would explain it to my artist, and the artist would put it on paper and I would kind of guide them and say, change this, change that. I literally would get the visions in my head, but I couldn't articulate the vision.
So that's your creative practice, is how to find the perfect word that says like the ankle is held slightly like this, and then yep. like somewhere on the cuff of the shin it's like that, or that's or, so cool.
Or I would show it on my foot. I would just be like, no, do this part and that way, and then I would have the artist draw it, and then the artist would pass it on to, you know, my pattern maker, and then it would just kind of become this real tangible shoe, and it was just amazing. Like, that's how my creativity has always worked. Yeah. Even now when I'm thinking of creative marketing campaigns, it's just like I get the vision in my head first, and then I start putting the pieces together in real life. But like, how do you, I guess, so for me, because a lot of times I didn't think of myself as a creative person, but then I realized that I'm pretty creative, because a lot of the things that I come up with, I have to envision it before I can.
Or you can communicate, you know, anything about it. Yeah.
Productize it, you know, it starts from ideation and then it becomes, I productize it. But I think if anything, I'm more of a, I'm more on the business side rather than the creative side. So I'll get the creative ideas, but then it's the business side of me that goes in and starts kind of dissecting it to see, is this going to be viable? Is this going to work? Is it going to, you know,
right. And who gets back to you on that? Because sometimes you have a whole department and sometimes you have individual contractors or just friends or something like that.
I mean, in some projects, it's just literally me figuring out the initial steps until I realize that it's viable enough for me to take it out and start producing it. But I'm curious to know, how do you juggle the two? Because, you know, I find that a lot of creative people, you know, business is hard, and managing accounting and finance. Like, how do you manage that?
The right off the bat, I'm smiling like a little bit because I'm going like, yeah, I hardly manage it. It's something that's difficult. It's the one thing where like 1 month I'm learning about numbers and insurances and things of liability and other certificates that companies like to have when you're working with a third party client. And other months I'm learning things that have to do more with like, wow, do you know that if you like, if you water something and you put pressure on it, you can cut through it. Like, that's something that I don't juggle them. Yeah. But if I have an expense or if I have something that I have to figure out, like how much is this going to cost? I write down the numbers actually. And then, and I see whether or not they have it in the inventory in store. Which is something that post COVID is like definitely good to do, is like check that the store has it in inventory. Sometimes you can call them up and say, hey, I see this thing you have online. Like, do you have it in the store? And they'll just like have somebody run to the back and check that it's there. If it's material that you can't really order online sometimes, for instance, like you can't find everything on Amazon. Sometimes you have to go to Home Depot or like a lumber yard or something like that.
So speaking of material, I know from friends who have been renovating and so on, that material cost has gotten increased so much. How has that affected what you do?
Well, that's really interesting. That's something that has affected how many reproductions I make. If something that I used to buy was like $10 and now it's $17 or $18, that's like a 200% difference, which is not what I've experienced. I've experienced something like a 3% different, where it went from like $15 to $17. And that, or maybe sometimes the upfront costs of buying tools, that's something that's like, oh, I was never told that before. So if you have like parents or friends that have tools and they're willing to give them to you, like get yourself a box and collect them. Those kinds of things that like no one really thinks to tell you what's important as a kid. But if you find like a flathead screwdriver that you think is really good, or a chisel or anything like that, and you're like, all right, I want to keep this in a box and like get a few other things that might actually fit for what it is that I need to be able to do. Like, do you have any of those friends that they're in renovations, but not only when they're in renovations, they have like the handy tools?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody but
my husband and myself, because we're both not handy. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm a little more handy than he is, but yeah, we usually call friends to come and help us put a painting up on the wall and things like that, which
really, but there's your community element though. You always need a second pair of hands in these kinds of matters. So it's very hard to go wrong. And I was trying to say, like, people have been sculpting things for 5,000 years plus, you know, and they're still figuring out, like, well, how to go about doing it, and like, why bother?
I want to talk about sculpting with metals. So I was about 13 years old when I broke my hand playing baseball, and I cracked.
Well, it's not cool that you broke it. Sorry.
I cracked this part of my hand, so I couldn't do anything. And I ended up taking sculpting, because as soon as my cast was off, my doctor suggested for me to take sculpting class to start using it. And I remember being obsessed with wires and flowers, because I'm obsessed with nature. And so I took the two elements and I created this. I created this from a wire, this female body. It was almost like a kind of like a Barbie looking female body made from wires. And then I dressed it with, like, I literally added flowers to kind of give that like a dress look, like as if this person, this thing was wearing a dress.
That's so beautiful sounding.
And then years later, I remember, I want to say like 15 years later, I remember meeting my florist for my wedding, and she was supposed to help me with my wedding planning. And I remember she had this bag from wires, and the bag was covered in with real flowers. And I was like, hey, I did something like this back when I was 13 years old. Like, I had this idea. Beautiful. And then all of a sudden I started seeing a lot more florists doing that, where they would just take, you know, it's literally like thin wires, metals, and they shape into different forms. And then,
yeah, you're right.
And then they would like put real flowers around it, and it just became this really cool trend. And I was just like, oh my God, like, I came up with this idea so long ago.
Necessity is the mother of creativity, that kind of thing. You just needed to see it, and then you made it.
But my problem is, and it's, you know, over the years, I've realized that I have this ability to see. I'm a bit of a futurist. I see things before they come and they start trending. I'll give you an example. When I started my shoe company, I started, my first shoe that I designed was with a vinyl. Okay. Now my shoemakers were like, wait, you're making bridal shoes with vinyl? And I said, yeah. And they're like, why? I'm like, cause it's pretty and it's comfortable.
Yeah.
And with Swarovski crystals, it's going to look so good. They were laughing at me. Literally. They're like, listen, vinyls go on stripper shoes, not bridal shoes. And I was like, no, trust me. I have this vision for this shoe. And so I made that first shoe. And then I made many different other shoes with vinyl and with feathers, with goose feathers, with Swarovski crystals, with satin, silk satin.
Where do you have that kind of available? Or is that for yourself? You made it for yourself?
No, I made it for the public. I sold it online. I mean, that company actually blew up, and then I ended up getting investors in it and all of that. So, but my point is, when I was making shoes with vinyl back in 2008, only strippers were wearing vinyl shoes. And then in 2012, Kim Kardashian started wearing these pumps that had vinyl on there. And all of a sudden, all the most expensive shoe designer started making shoes with vinyl.
And how come you were like, so it's comfortable and it's pretty. Was there like something about it that you were like, I like this, and I'm like, leather. I don't want to work with leather. Like, why?
I mean, for me, it was the mix between the leather, the vinyl, and the Swarovski crystals. There was just something about it that to me was just so beautiful. It was just beautiful. But then I looked at the comfort. I looked at a few elements. And then when I look back, I'm just like, wow, I was pretty futuristic in that sense, because I, you know, and if you Google my company, Lana Leah Shoes, the images will come up, and you can see that those images were back in 2008, 2009, way before people started wearing it. And now we're in 2022 and people are still wearing see-through shoes, right? That are made with vinyl. So
I've had that ability, but I think now I'm realizing that I really need to learn how to capitalize on it, right? Do you have moments like that where you just, you have this vision for something and then you're like, later on, you're like, wow, this, if I had done this, this could have been something huge, you know?
Still, yeah, I don't have as many of those like aha moments, but once in a while, if I've been getting feedback in a particular realm, for a few times, and I go like, and when I did that, and then it starts to come together with something again. So it's like something that, like, for instance, I've learned how to capitalize on sculpture. Sculpture, like I have a catalog where I can like send out to people who are buyers. I have pictures of the actual thing. If you don't want a catalog, you just want photos of like exactly what you can buy, and I'll send that. I have a request for proposals that I send to the city that have nothing to do with private commissions. They have to do with the city just having on file someone who's qualified to say gold medal or is insured to work with plaster, those kinds of things. There are a whole bunch of little tiny intricacies that you wouldn't think are things that you have to take care of to be somebody who's callable or reachable for a particular kind of project. So those things, they do take time to learn, but not because it's not like, oh, I feel thick about it. It's like, no, it takes it until it comes up, even to be something to learn from. It takes like a few years. It takes even more than a few years to be at something and say like, well, why didn't I just think to go do house visits? Or why didn't I just think to just go do and insert whatever that one simple thing is. And I promise you, it's not simple, but it ends up being too, like, it's doable. It's something that you can find that capital moment where you go like, that's really what I ought to be doing and focusing or prioritizing right now.
So one thing I want to bring up, and I'm actually working on with the city of LA on this project.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm helping them promote their program. They just launched this platform that brings together vendors, and it's people like yourself, people like me who have certain professions. It brings people together with the public sector as well as the private sector. And so as I mentioned earlier, World Cup is coming, Olympics is coming. This platform called Ramp LA is going to be the centralized system that's going to connect every opportunity that is available to people like you, to people like me, for us to go on this platform and see it. So I highly recommend.
You want to talk about that more? Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend you go on there and register. It's free to register. It's called Ramp, RAMPLA.org. Just go on there, add your business name, you know, address, information, what you do, the NASEN code, which is basically if you Google, you know, what your profession,
right, manufacturing,
and list yourself there. That, and it's what I love about this platform is that not only can you see the upcoming opportunities that are listed, but they can see you. So if they're
reciprocal.
So if somebody's looking for a sculptor, they just put the NASEN code in there and then you pop up, and then they'll probably reach out to you and say, hey, we've got this project. Are you interested in it?
How awesome.
And what I love about it is that it's not just, you know, I always thought of working with the city or the government, you know, it has to be certain industries. But now that I'm in it, I'm realizing that no, anybody can do anything with the government. They need everything. They need all kinds of different things, right?
It takes all sorts. Yeah, everything. That's so cool that you see it that way now.
Yeah. And so I highly recommend you do it. And I'm so sad our interview is coming to an end. So before we, you know, we part ways, just remind our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they want to follow you, follow your art. How would they connect with you?
Sure. Yeah, I kept it simple. If you just look up Ariel Marom, either .com or the name, it's ARIELLE MAROM. That's on Instagram. And then my website as well. If you go to arielmarom.com and you send in a message to the email, I'm going to be the one that's getting the message at the end. Same thing with the Instagram. It's going to be me handling that and talking.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ariel. It's been a pleasure. I'm so inspired by your work and tying everything together and such a, you make it seem so easy. So thank you. Thank you for being so inspiring.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'll like to get the link for this later and follow up with you. It's been really nice chatting.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining Startup to Success with Maria on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3 SoCalArmenian.com.